الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة. The first of our last salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. There's a request for the brothers to come a bit closer to the front, please, for those who are coming in. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning abrogation and the abrogated verses in the Quran is one of the most important discussions in Quranic sciences, and indeed one of the most fascinating discussions when one examines the revelation of the Quran over a 23-year period, a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives. How many times have you looked at a verse of the Holy Quran and wondered whether it substituted a verse before it? How many times have you looked at a legal ruling in the Quran and wondered whether that legal ruling abrogated a legal ruling before it? How many times have you looked at a verse in the Quran and wondered whether that verse's role was to replace a verse that was revealed before it? Many times when we look at two verses of the Quran of a similar nature, a question is asked: did this verse come to replace the other one, or did it come to provide more information about the other one? This particular discussion is known as the discussion of the nasikh and the mansukh, known as the discussion of the abrogated and the abrogating verses. And without a doubt, according to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, is one of the most powerful discussions when looking at the Holy Quran. If you look at Imam al-Sadiq salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, Imam al-Sadiq salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, what does he state? He states, if a person does not know the nasikh and the mansukh and the muhkam and the mutashabih, then they do not know the Quran and they have no relation with the Quran whatsoever. For Imam al-Sadiq to say something such strong words about the abrogated verses is without a doubt something to be taken consideration of. As in, when Imam al-Sadiq says, if a person does not know the abrogating and the abrogated and the decisive and the ambiguous verses of the Quran, then they do not know the Quran and they have no relationship with the Quran. If you were to ask many Muslims about the topic of abrogation, many will not know what exactly the topic of abrogation is at all. Likewise, you find Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is once asking a person, do you know about the abrogated and the abrogating verses? The person said no. Then Imam looked at him and said, you are ruined. When Imam says you are ruined, what does he mean? He means that knowledge of the abrogating and the abrogated verses is one of the most important pieces of knowledge when looking at the Holy Quran. Without a doubt. Because if I truly have an attachment to the Holy Quran, that means I'm going to examine every verse in over the 23-year period. I'm going to ask, was this verse revealed over that verse? Was this verse revealed to replace that verse? Was this law revealed to replace that law? Because there are many times in the Quran where you feel that a law came to replace another. For example, if you were to look at the verse of alcohol, which we discussed a few nights ago, you find at the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, watch, don't approach salah while you are intoxicated. But then later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you concerning alcohol, say that its disadvantages outweigh the advantages. Until at the end Allah completely forbade alcohol. When someone looks at that, the question that arises is, that what is the abrogated and what is the abrogating? A verse which is abrogated is known as a mansukh verse. The abrogating or the abrogators, what known as what? The nasikh. The act of abrogating is known as nasikh. Therefore, whenever you examine the Quran, if you see a discussion concerning abrogation, the question of that discussion is, that were there verses that came to replace previous verses? Someone asks, if there were verses that came to replace previous verses, then what's the point of having those previous verses if they were later going to be taken over by another verse? And indeed, this became the subject of discussion of many great scholars. As in the first 4 centuries of the religion of Islam, so the first 400 years after Rasulullah died, there were 18 books alone written on this topic, about the abrogation of the Quran. This topic attracted so much attention from scholars, that you would find scholars of every school in Islam. If you went to, for example, Tirmidhi, he wrote on this. Ahmad bin Hanbal wrote on this. You find, for example, later on, Suyuti wrote on this. Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi has the oldest treatise on this issue of the Nasikh and the Mansukh. Even in the school of Ahlul Bayt, scholars like Ayatullah al-Khoi, or indeed the great scholar by the name of Ma'rifat, have written extensively on this issue. Because they recognized, when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib tells a scholar, do you know about abrogation? And the scholar says no, and Imam Ali says to him, then you are ruined. How important is abrogation that Imam Ali says a person who doesn't know about it is ruined? How important is this topic that Imam al-Sadiq says, whoever doesn't know about it does not know the Quran and has no relationship with the Quran? As if someone turns around and says, hold on a minute, I've been reading the Quran for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years, now you're coming and telling me that I have no relationship with the Quran. Well, if a person truly had a relationship with the Quran, they would have pondered over every legal verse and asked the question that why is it that one legal verse says this and another comes later and says that? Had we as Muslims pondered over this Quran, we would have seen a constantly evolving book meeting the intellectual needs over a 23-year period. But what did the Quran become for us except a book that we recite, hoping that there's barakah for us on the Day of Judgment without pondering over it? The discussion therefore of the Nasikh and the Mansukh is a discussion that doesn't just relate to the 1400 years ago, but rather is a discussion that relates to our time today. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the time of the Prophet recognized the needs of his ever evolving nation, then has Islam recognized the needs of its ever evolving nation today? If the aim of the Quran was to constantly receive guidance from Allah, where one law may be substituted by another, then is there a possibility that certain Sharia laws today need abrogation as well to meet the needs of the time? Therefore, this discussion is a discussion that affects our lives today. And I'd like to dissect this discussion in the following stages. Number one, if Allah brings a law to replace a previous law, does that mean he has limitations in his knowledge? Number two, what are the conditions for abrogation? And can anyone read the Quran and claim this verse abrogated that? Number three, can a verse be abrogated, or is it just a ruling that abrogates another ruling? Number four, why then keep these verses in the Quran? Why not delete them once they've been abrogated? Number five, what is the importance of theological abrogation in contrast to legal abrogation? And what examples are there where Allah changes the plan which the human thought he had already planned? Let's examine this and seek to dissect the topic in complete depth. When a person says a verse which was a legal verse came to substitute a previous verse, the question arises as to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nasq means what? Nasq means that which replaces or that which substitutes. If you look within the Quran, Allah has mentioned the word nasq on numerous occasions. For example, Allah mentioned in Surah 2 verse 106, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. Yes? نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, we do not replace a verse or cause it to be forgotten, except that we replace it with a verse that's better, yes, or like it. Notice the ayah doesn't say, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ what? نُنْسِهَا. We do not replace a verse or cause it to be forgotten, except, yes, نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا, except that we bring one that is better than it or like it. The word نسخ means what? The word نسخ clearly means the idea of a replacement. Likewise, in Surah 22, verse 52, when Shaytan, Allah says that whenever Shaytan tries to affect the prophets, فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانِ, Allah replaces or cancels what Shaytan tries to do. Therefore, the meaning of the word nasq was the idea of replacing or the idea of cancelling something. The original definition was what? مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا وَمِثْلِهَا. The question arises, if Allah performs nasq, meaning that He gives you a law, and then that law is later replaced, does that mean that Allah's knowledge is limited? Because sometimes people ask the question, that why didn't you just put that law in the first place? Why did you first give this law, and then later in the Quran you brought another law? If we take the example of alcohol, why, Ya Allah, did you later say it's haram? Why not from the beginning just say it's haram? People looked at that, and what did they say? They said, Allah, therefore, knowledge is limited. Allah doesn't know what's going to happen in His community. He keeps making up things in the Quran as He sees His community move. On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not limited at all. No. We have got the wrong impression of the meaning of the idea of nasakh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we call Him Rabb al-Alameen, Rabb means the nourisher, correct? He nourishes His creation and brings them up and educates them, correct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gave us a verse and then it was overridden by another verse, the problem wasn't with Allah, no. Rather, Allah was giving us doses in order to be able to culture our new community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that doctor. When you go to the doctor gives you the whole dose straight away. Or the doctor tells you, listen, take these doses in small quantities, yes? I'm going to give you these doses. Every 6 hours, take this dose. If I notice that you're doing well, then I'm going to replace that dosage. I don't need to. However, if it's very harsh on you, then what I'll do is I'll give you a dosage which is a bit smaller. A doctor, what does he do with his patient? When a doctor receives a patient who's in need of help, does it mean that the doctor, when he gives different medicines, does that mean the doctor doesn't know? No. The doctor wants to help nourish that patient with small doses. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He saw this early Arab community, He had known that many of them had just come out from the period of Jahiliyyah, correct? Therefore, He knew that I can't straight away give them an ayah of the Quran which completely changes their culture. What I'll do is that in doses, I'll provide them with ayahs. Because someone turned around and said, what? They said, if you're saying that there are legal verses that came later on, and Allah used them to replace His previous ayat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is limited. Allah is making mistakes. We reply, no. To us, those verses are abrogated. To Allah, it was part of His step-by-step plan to culture us. Understand the difference. To me and you, with 20/20 hindsight, those verses abrogated previous verses. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knew I was going to send this verse, and then I'll send another verse, and then I'll send another verse, until they're able to handle the doses that I've given them. Therefore you find, if you were to take as an example, Surah 4 verse number 15. Surah 4 verse 15 said what? In those days the Arabs, if they wanted to, if their wife committed adultery, what would they do? They'd confine their wife to the house until she dies. So you look up the door, yes? Until she dies, in that house you confine her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah 4 verse 15, it said, yes, you confine the lady who commits adultery to the house until death, unless Allah shows another way. When he says, unless I show another way, what does that mean? That means that unless there is another avenue which is going to be opened, in order that that law, when a woman commits adultery, is removed. Which avenue did he open? Surah 24 verse 2. When Allah spoke of a zani wa zani, فَاجْلِدُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدًا. What did Allah say? He said, the adulteress and the adulterer, what do you do to them? You whip them 100 whips or 100 lashes. What you found here was what? The Arabs in their culture, the lady who commits adultery is confined to death in the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that's not their culture, but then later on an opinion of the scholars is what? Is that the verse is abrogated with what? A verse is abrogated with 100 lashes. The scholars on this area differ. On which point? The scholars differ on this area as to how many incidents are there of naskh in the Quran. What do we mean? You see, if you were to look at the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah and the scholars of the Shia, they differ as to the number of times abrogation has occurred within the Quran. For example, Suyuti believed there were 21 incidents of abrogation within the Quran. Suyuti, within the Itqan, lists 21 verses which have abrogated previous verses. You find, for example, Shah Waliullah said how many? 5. Ma'rifat said how many? 12. Ayatullah Al-Khu'i said how many? 1. In Ayatullah Al-Khu'i's opinion, there was a strict criteria before a person looked at which verses abrogated the previous verses. Please understand this delicate point. Because if you give it to any Muslim now, any Muslim can pick up the Quran, they'll pick me a random ayah, they'll look at another ayah, and they'll say, you know what? How do I know this ayah didn't overtake that ayah? As in, sometimes when you look within the Quran, you may see a legal verse. Then you see the same topic in another part of the Quran. And you think to yourself, well, how do I know that that legal verse has not overtaken the other? In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we have a rigid criteria when it comes to this issue. In which way? In the school of Ahlul Bayt, the criteria for knowing if an abrogating verse has abrogated a verse previous to it, the first criteria, without a doubt, is to look at the words of the Holy Prophet and the Ma'sumin. No doubt. The Holy Prophet and the Ma'sumin, you look and see, did they say that this ayah abrogated a previous ayah? If the Prophet and the Ma'sumin have said that ayah 58:13 came to abrogate ayah 58:12, then yes, we say that clearly. If an Imam of Ahlul Bayt has said one ayah came to replace another, then we stick by the one that's been what? The one that's replaced the previous. Our second criteria is what? The ijma' of the fuqaha. Because when I want to know, say I don't find the Imams of Ahlul Bayt mentioning this, we look for the scholars, Shaykh Al-Kulayni, Shaykh Al-Mufid, Shaykh Al-Saduq, Allama Al-Hilli, Muhaqqiq Al-Hilli, Shaheed Al-Awwal, Shaheed Al-Thani. We look for them. We see what are they saying. Has that verse been replaced? Has it continued? Is the ruling still applicable? Or did a new ruling come over and replace it? Number three, and importantly, we have to also make sure that we understand what? That abrogation can only take place with the legal verses in the time of Rasulullah. You don't have abrogation of the Quran after Rasulullah. No one can come after Rasulullah and say that this ayah, please mark this point carefully when you enter your discussions, that this particular ayah replaces another ayah. Why? Because if everyone can come after Rasulullah and make up their own opinion as to which ayah replaces another, then the whole legal system is fallen. Because then we're going to have 100 different schools which claim that this ayah replaced that ayah. Number four, Ayatullah Al-Khu'i. Why does he have a very strict criteria for naskh? Ayatullah Al-Khu'i said, in contrast to Ma'rifat, and both of them are our great ulama, Ayatollah Khomeini said, a verse which has been replaced by another. If nesq has truly taken place, please understand this point. If nesq has truly taken place, then what has happened is that they've acted on the first verse, then Allah has stopped them from acting on the second verse. Please understand this point. Ayatollah Al-Khoi says, if the first verse, for example, the first verse says, whenever you go to visit the Prophet, give some charity away. Someone has to act that. If there's a verse that then says, stop, you don't need to do that anymore, then Ayatollah Al-Khoi says, that's an example of nasr. Because the first verse was acted upon, the second verse which says stop, that's an example of nasr. Ma'rifat, on the other hand, said, no, you look at the wording of one verse from the other, and then you'll know if nasr has taken place. Taking this on board, we ask the question, when we say abrogation, what is the criteria for abrogation? Three opinions came forward. The first opinion is, and the first question was asked, can a verse and a ruling both be abrogated at the same time? What does this mean? One opinion is that a verse could have completely been abrogated. That means it's not there anymore. And the ruling of that verse is completely abrogated. Do we believe in such a thing or no? No, of course we don't. Why don't we believe in such a thing? Can we believe there was a verse from the Quran, but that's now it's been completely removed? Why not? Because the Quran, if there are verses which have been removed, how then do I know that this is the complete Quran with us today? If someone says to me that an ayah has been abrogated, not meaning that it's been replaced, no, meaning that the ayah is lost, and the ruling is lost, do we believe in such a thing? No. Our brothers in Ahl Sunnah, Suyuti narrates Aisha saying this. Aisha narrates, there used to be a verse about the 10 sucklings, yes? About if you suckle, yes, a man suckles from the woman 10 times, then he becomes mahram to her. Go and check in Egypt what friction that caused a couple of years ago. Anyway, so, if a person suckles from the woman 10 times, then for example, he becomes mahram to her. And there was a verse on stoning. So these are two ayat which were in the Quran. They were in the Quran. But they were under my bed and a goat came and ate them and we don't have them anymore. Yes? That type of nasr, where an ayah is completely lost from the Quran, that nasr, do we believe in it or no in the school of Ahlul Bayt? No, of course we don't. That idea that the ruling is gone and that the verse has completely gone, we believe no. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the ones who send down the reminder and we are the ones who will protect it. Allah protected His Holy Quran. There is no way that there's an ayah about something and that ayah was eaten by a goat. Therefore, that first opinion about nasr is completely rejected in the school of Ahlul Bayt. The second opinion about nasr is what? That a ruling stays, but the verse is missing. A ruling stays, but the verse of the ruling is missing. That's been abrogated. How? Umar ibn al-Khattab said, this is the second opinion, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, in the time of Rasulullah, there was a verse. وَالشَّيْخ وَالشَّيْخَةُ Yes? إِذَا زَنِيَا فَرْجُمُوهُمَا Yes? The man and the woman, if they commit zina, stone them. Umar said, this was an ayah in the Quran, but we can't find it in the current Quran, but we still have to apply the law. You know, I find it interesting when you go to Saudi Arabia and you go there and they actually have books saying the Shia believe in a different Quran. I believe in a different Quran. One had goat and the other one had suckling and now this one says what? A sheikh and the sheikha, if they commit zina, stone them. Is there an ayah in the Quran about stoning? No. But they say this was an ayah, but Allah completely abrogated it. But the ruling remains with us. Ya Allah, why completely remove it from the Quran? Leave it in the Quran. No problem. And we'll take the ruling. That's it. Why remove it from the Quran? Therefore, Suyuti says, the second meaning of abrogation was what? Umar ibn al-Khattab saying there was an ayah in the Quran. The ayah is now lost, but the ruling we have to stick by. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, do we accept this? No, no way. That you don't stick by a ruling on the verse of the Quran that was there and disappeared. What mean disappeared? Allah can't protect His holy book.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His holy book, He can't protect it. If there's an ayah from the Quran, it disappeared. We have to stick by the ruling.
If you go to anyone now, you could say to them, you know what, there was an ayah, but it's not there anymore, but this is the ruling. Now we'll have havoc in our legal system. Everybody will start bringing up verses of the Quran which claim to be there, but were completely missing. That's why even another school said what? There was a verse which says, الولد للفراش, which means what? That the boy who comes from zina, he is to what? He is to his parents, but the adulterer is to be what? An adulteress? Or the adultering parents is to be stoned. They said that this was also an ayah, but what? That ayah is now missing. Even that's not an ayah. That is something that is not part of the Quran at all. Therefore, the second opinion was what? An ayah may be abrogated, but the ruling has to remain. We reject that as well. The third opinion is what? The opinion of the school of Ahlul Bayt. A ruling in a verse in the Quran replace another ruling in another verse of the Quran. What do we mean? In the school of Ahlul Bayt, our belief in abrogation is what? Our belief in abrogation is that you may have a certain ruling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that a new ruling will come in to replace that previous ruling. For example, if you look in the Quran in Surah 2 verse 240, at the beginning of Islam, when there is a widow in the community, her iddah used to be 1 year. Surah 2 verse 240. The iddah of a widow at the beginning was 1 year. The maintenance for a widow was for a year. Yes? Her maintenance was for a year and her iddah period was for a year. Among some of the scholars of Ahlul Bayt, Surah 4 verse 12 abrogated Surah 2 verse 240. How? Surah 4 verse 12 said, the iddah for a widow is now how much? Who could tell me? What's the iddah for a widow? Iddah for a widow. 4 months and 10 days. In Surah 2 verse 240, it said the iddah for a widow is a year. Surah 4 verse 12 came and said, hold on. Now that that's your culture and custom you were used to in Arabia, no, we have to replace this with a new law. Did Allah not know? No, Allah wanted them to be accustomed to the laws of Islam. Then He helps them develop. He nurtures them into understanding what the role of each of them is in society. The iddah from being originally a year for a widow, the iddah became how long? 4 months and 10 days. How about maintenance for a widow? Is it fair that if a lady becomes a widow at 45, is it fair that you maintain her only for that 1 year? Is that fair? No, it's not. So in Surah 4 verse 12, the maintenance became what? A quarter of the share of her husband's estate. Of course, if there aren't any others who are within the family, a quarter of the shares of the husband's estate. If someone looked at Surah 2 verse 240 alone, they'd say to me, said, Ammar, once in your lecture you said that the iddah of a widow is 4 months and 10 days. I think you got it wrong. So I'd say, what do you mean I got it wrong? I'd say, Surah 2 verse 240. I'd say, yes, but Surah 4 verse 12 abrogated 2240. Do you know now why Imam al-Sadiq says a person who doesn't know abrogation doesn't know the Quran? Because Imam al-Sadiq is saying, if you don't read the whole of the Quran, and you don't research about which verse abrogated which verse, then don't say you have a relationship with the Quran, because you'll end up taking one ayah and you miss out another ayah which explains that ayah. How many times have you taken an ayah in the Quran by itself and you're like, you know what, I'm so confused with this ayah. Then later on you realize, you know what, actually I think this ayah is the one which explains this ayah, correct?